Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG Pod Overflow, the Cinephobe Cold Opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
You said the OG Pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG Pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing it, and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG Pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hi everyone, Tim Kitzer here from NBA Jam and NFL Blitz, and you're listening to Growing Up the Same with Trayvon Edwards and Jason Madison. Ooh, boom shakalaka! And now here's your starting lineup: Trayvon Edwards, Jason Madison. Ooh, boom shakalaka!
And today we joined by a special guest, my boy Samir Hernandez. Let me put Oscar-winning producer Samir Hernandez in front of that. Let me put some respect on that. What's going on, Samir?
What up? Sounds good, man. You know what I mean? Sounds good. Glad to be here. Thank you guys for having me.
Samir Hernandez is the vice president of Slam Magazine, a former Nike exec, the Oscar-winning producer of the film Two Distant Strangers, and also a NCAA national champion. Samir, this is the one.
High school national champion.
Oh, okay. See, that's why I said hoops. You got to let me know.
Of the great Dominguez.
So you won a national championship at Dominguez. Who was on your team?
Man, Tyson Chandler was the main dude on that team.
Okay, that's what I was trying to make sure. That was a Tyson Chandler. Okay, yeah.
Trayvon Free, that's a teammate. You know what I mean? He was rolling.
Yeah, no, Tyson was a fucking beast in high school. He was like unlike anything anybody's ever seen.
And now it's time for the one or the two with Jay Skills.
Sub-Zero or Scorpion?
I ain't seen the movie, but on the game, Sub-Zero, man. Sub-Zero's a beast, bro. What are we talking about?
Get over here.
Hey, are we quick hits? Are we quick hits? Am I just giving it to you? Are we just
it's quick hits.
Yeah.
All right.
But if you got to explain why you chose that answer, you can.
Yeah. All right. Let's do it then. All right. Sub-Zero. First of all, he was colder than Scorpion. He's better at the game than Scorpion. You know what I'm saying? Scorpion had to get over here, which was dope. But like Sub-Zero had like the uppercut, the ice uppercuts. You know what I'm saying? He did his kick. Ice came from it. You know, the little sliding kick thing. Man, that was cold, man. You know what I'm saying? And obviously he frees you. And that freeze thing, you could do whatever you want with that. Like, from a gaming perspective, I ain't watched the movie yet, but from a gaming perspective, he was the coldest in the game, man. Sub-Zero all day.
Interviewing or being interviewed?
Ooh. Being interviewed.
Shaq or Duncan?
Shaq. Give me another player. Shaq or who? Give me one player. Shaq or who?
Malone.
Shaq. That's who we roll with, man. Shaq all the time. That's my favorite player, man. Best player of all time.
Booker or Tatum?
Ooh, Book. No question. Love Book.
Cootie or Chike?
Man, you can't separate the two. You can't separate the two.
Yeah,
that's you know, peanut butter or jelly, man. It just comes together. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. Yeah, they're my dogs. Shout out to Cootie and Chike, man.
Man, they winning, man. They winning.
Kobe or LeBron?
Kobe. I'm LA, man. LA all day.
Chris Paul or Westbrook?
I told you I'm LA all day, big dog. We going with Westbrook. We going with the icon. But hey, by the way, out of these quick hits, I was just having a conversation with my boy Pooh. I said, hey, at this point, you know, you always have a conversation about LA. Who are the who's like the king of LA? You know what I'm saying? You got James, you got Barron, you got Russell, you know what I'm saying? It's other people that kind of slide in there, ain't gonna name no names. But you got Trevor, you know what I'm saying? You got Tayshaun, you know, you can kind of take it back. But at this point, after what Russell did, you got Paul. I can't forget him.
I was going to say Paul. Paul was sitting at the top for a minute. And,
yeah, Paul's up there.
And but for what Russell has did, that's just a bar alone. I mean, I think that kind of outweighs a championship, bro. Like breaking a 47-year-old record, I'm not mad at that.
Here's the thing. Not only did he break a record that was standing forever, he broke a record that nobody ever thought would be broken.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like that record, in my opinion, before he started creeping up on that, before he averaged that triple double, like what was it, three seasons in a row?
Yep.
Before he averaged that triple double, like I think that record was higher than that 100-point game. I think people thought that you would break a 100-point game, you know, that record. Before you break this.
Absolutely.
And because of that, he's the king of LA. That shit's iconic. It's not legendary. It's not, you know, whatever. That's iconic. That's like that's it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't get no higher than that. So, Russell. Russell is the king of LA.
Marbury or Garnett?
Ooh, that's supposed to be quick, huh? KG. I'm running with KG.
Yeah.
He got a chip.
Sarah or Verb?
Sarah, this is shout out to Sarah. Sarah,
first
man,
of all, he gonna say Verb because he went to Verb. Jay went to Verb.
No, man. Hey, here's one thing I know about you. You could tie a tie. That's one thing I know. About you. I know all the Verb dudes got a tie in high school. Yeah. I knew that.
Definitely.
Yeah, but hey, Sarah, no question, bro. Come on, man. Sarah, man, come on. You already know.
The Oscars or the Golden Globes?
Oscars, the golden what, man? Don't even let me stop. Right. Oscars, man, that's the pinnacle, bro. The pinnacle. No,
for sure. I mean, but yeah, I mean, we can address the Hollywood Foreign Press is getting, you know what I'm saying? They're not on good standing with our people right now. Cass is walking away from that whole situation, so you know, it is what it is.
Yo, man. I mean, it is what it is. I think now more than anything, I mean, and to kind of take it more serious route, like. Now is the time where, you know, people have to do right by people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, the time of like politics will always be there. You know what I'm saying? Favoring, you know, a certain demo of people, no matter what, that will always be there. But I think that, you know, what we're seeing right now is the evolution and really the slow movement of equality.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is kind of what it is. You know, a lot of times people say that it moves slow. But when it comes, you know what I'm saying? It's here. And so, you know, being able to see people stand up for equality, I think what all the networks and the streams are doing is huge. And saying, yo, we stand for equality. What, you know, with Tom Cruise and, you know, going back and saying, hey, you know, we stand with this. I mean, that's huge. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Irregardless of, you know, people have their own opinions. I think that what we literally are seeing is the evolution of equality and like that next phase come to fruition. And so, you know, with that, you know, wherever it ends up landing, I know that it's going to be a little bit more of an equal playing field, and ultimately it's going to end up being better for the folks that come behind it. So, you know, I'm with the change.
For sure. And shout out to Tom Cruise for giving his awards back for the people. We appreciate that. BET Awards or Soul Train Awards?
Ooh. BET Awards.
AJ and Free or Terrence and Roxy?
AJ and Free, man. They started it. And let me not even say AJ and Free. I'm just going to roll with Free. I'm going to roll with Free.
Yeah. Yo MTV Raps or Rap City the Basement?
The Basement. The Basement, bro. The Flows? Come on, man. Yeah. Come on. Yeah, for sure.
If you're riding in the car with the air conditioner on, is the windows up or down?
Oh, is my wife in the car or is she not? That's the question. Right. You know what I'm saying? Solo. Hey, I'm solo. Oh, yeah. If I'm solo and it's the summertime,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? The windows is down and the AC is on. If I'm with my wife, it's either or. She makes me pick. So, you know, that's what it is. Yeah. Happy wife, happy life.
Exactly. 90s basketball shoes or 2000s basketball shoes?
90s, no question. Retro business wouldn't be the booming business that it was if it wasn't for the 90s, man. The 90s was literally the golden era for sneakers, right? So you got all of your best, outside of Jordan, all of your best, like, outside of Jordan, and if you want to count the current, you know, KD, Bron, you know, Kai, that was the dopest, like, era of sneakers across all sports. You had, you know, you had the footballs, you had the Barry Sanders, the Junior Seau's, you know what I'm saying? Baseball, you had the Frank Thomas, the Big Hurts, remember with Reebok? Yeah. You had the Griffies, you know what I'm saying?
We was buying everything.
Everything.
Anybody that was that had a signature shoe, they had dope commercials. Shout out to the people that make them. Mm-hmm. And then also, you know, pretty much they went hard with uniform pants. Because that's what we kind of styled them with back then. It wasn't. You didn't have to put no fit together. That's why I think we was so crazy about them. And we wore, you know, a decent size. And by the time we got to high school, obviously MJ and, you know, Nike kind of ran the show from there on out. But, you know, as a kid, man, you got, we was in Felix, man, because of Grant Hill. About? We can go down the line.
With facts. Yeah. Even Stackhouse had a low key one. I mean, yeah.
I had the Stackhouse.
You talk about the Jason Kidd.
Yeah.
Stackhouses was hard. The Gary Payton, man, come on. That was the golden era of sneakers with the 90s. The 2000s, it went too much to performance and not enough style. You know what I'm saying? And I could say that intimately. You know what I mean?
Well, Jordan 2 or Jordan 20?
Jordan 2s, bro. I don't even think that's, come on, man. Jordan 2s. Jordan 2s. I think that's the most disrespected Jordan in the whole collection out of Jordan 2s. No question.
You know what? I think the reason why they didn't get the love that they didn't is because we weren't really around when they really went out. You feel me? Like, because Mike was also, he broke his foot. And I mean, he still was wearing the ones adjusted to that, you know, so we kind of got the twos like second half of that. But our age, we got the retro late. Of the two, like, yeah. It was like, I think you was probably a freshman year in college, and that was my senior year when we finally, actually, no, it was 2003, 2004, when the two finally.
Second year in college. Yeah.
When the two finally, like, all right, we're doing retros. And we're like, okay, let it grow on us a little bit. And I think the low tops are harder than the highs, but the highs is more traditional story. What Mike wore, and you can kind of get them off with, you know, during that time, cargo shorts, jean shorts. I don't know what, you know, you probably could do the twos now.
Yeah, wear twos with jeans, though. That's the thing, is like,
it's
a shoe that's surrounded by great shoes that it makes it uglier. You know what I'm saying? Because
But I also remember when people hated ones and they were flat. And I'm flat footed, so I love the ones. And they had grip. I was the only person probably hooping in them. They were $70. I could get them whenever I wanted. Cause people were like, nah, I want the, you know what I mean? I want the 16s. Because the 16s, I'm like, I'm gonna get both. You know what I mean? The 16s didn't have no grip, but they look better. And the ones, they was flat. And you know, most people didn't really look at them like, but now you look at how popular they are. Like, people, you can't leave your house without seeing the ones now.
Yeah,
you can, and they come in every single color,
and every color now that was during the era of when them fake shoes was coming out, they releasing all them colors now.
Exactly. The Kobe 2, the space boots, or the Grinches?
Oh, Grinches, bro. I think the Grinches are I think they're up there as an iconic shoe. I'm rolling with the Grinches for sure.
The LeBron 1 or the South Beach 9s?
Ooh. South Beach 9s.
That AZG is tough, though. That's a fave.
It is tough.
But the South Beach South Beach broke the internet.
Yeah.
That in the galaxy.
You asked me which one. Yeah.
That in the galaxy made the internet go crazy. That started the resale.
Yeah, for like an athletic shoe, like for like a performance shoe, I think those are probably some of the best, like most stylish shoes that he ever came out with, or anybody has ever came out with.
Yeah. Yeah, that's when you really saw that transition. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, Trey hit it. It's like that's when the resale. That's when like that hype beat, and it hit it kind of like on the same time as like, you know, IG kind of started popping. You know what I'm saying? Like things were shifting, so it made it just, you know, it literally switched the sneaker era. It ushered in, you know, this sneaker era in which we are now, like that hype beat. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Era we in now, but now I rock with them South Beach Jordans. They tough.
KD or Kyrie?
KD, man. KD. I love Kai. I think Kai is, you know, KD. KD.
Yeah. Winning a ring or winning MVP?
Hold on. Time out. That's not a fair question.
If you can only do one.
Am I taking part?
Huh?
Am I taking part in winning a ring or a bench player?
You're like either... I mean, I hate to frame it like this, but like you're either Robert Ori or Russell Westbrook. Which would you prefer?
Oh, I'm taking the ring, man. I'm taking the ring.
Okay.
I'm like talking myself into that, but at the end of the day, I want a ring. I do want a ring. Yeah. And Robert Ori got like 7 of them things.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He got 7, right? He got 7 or
he got 7. He has 7.
He has 7.
Yeah, yep. He got 7.
Big. Ooh. Yeah. Big shot Bob.
Yep. Triple H or the Undertaker?
Hey, and Russell gonna get his ring though. Russell gonna get his ring.
Think so?
Yeah, Russell gonna get Russell. Russ is a winner. Russ gonna get his ring, man. It's only right for Russell's story for him to get a ring.
I think he's kind of in that Barkley lane where it's like he missed his window. He's now getting kind of up there, and the way that he plays won't really fit into a championship team. I mean, like, obviously, Rondo got a late one, his second one late, and I can see Russ possibly if he wants to remold his vision of himself, but he's got to really work to, you know what I'm saying, later in his career to change his feeling about himself to get there, I think.
I think Russell is a player who knows how to play one way, which is hard. He play hard. Yeah. And he does everything that he can to win. I know Russell for a fact is one of the most fantastic teammates that are out there and goes hard as hell for anyone on his team. Yeah. And no matter how this thing evolves, whether it comes later, whether it comes sooner, what role he plays, Russell's going to get his ring. Like it just makes sense. All the stuff he does for the community, all the stuff he does, like on the court, all the stuff that he does off the court, like it just, yeah, Russell gonna get his ring. I'm rolling with Russell.
I mean, I hope he does. Russell's been one of my favorite players since he entered the league. It's just tough, man. Not everybody gets there. Shout out to Chuck too. Triple H or the Undertaker.
Undertaker. I remember when both was started. I remember when Triple H. Do you know Triple H's original name?
Not Hunter Hearst Helmsley. It was something else, right?
No, that was it. Hunter Hearst Helmsley.
He was dressing fly, bro.
It was Hunter Hearst Helmsley, and he spoke exactly. And he had an English accent. Yep. Didn't he have an English accent? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I can't respect that. Hey, Undertaker.
He was on his snobby shit, bro. He was on his snobby shit. He used to be looking down at cats.
Exactly. You gotta respect somebody who left the same way they came in. Only thing he was missing was the pallbearer. Y'all remember the pallbearer?
Of course.
Shout out to Paul Bear. Rest in peace.
Paul Bear was dope. Rest in peace, Paul Bear.
The sneakers app or Robinhood?
Yo, bro, let me tell you something, man. I roll with who made me money. So I'm rolling with Robin Hood. Neither of them is for the culture. So, you know, they act like they is, but they ain't. But Robin Hood made me some money, so we roll with Robin Hood.
Right. Salt or seasoning salt?
Man, you would ask me this about 5-10 years ago. I would have said seasoning salt. now I'm just going, you know, I got to get a little bit of salt, a pinch of salt. That's where I'm at right now in my life, a pinch of salt. But, you know, don't tell my mama that, but, you know, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Travis or Young Thug?
Travis. I'll keep it a buck. I don't listen to either one of them, but Travis.
Yeah. Black Sox or White Sox?
Black Sox. No question.
Marshawn Lynch or Deion Sanders?
Beast mode. Beast mode for the people. Deion for the people. Beast mode for the people.
Mahomes or Brady?
Mahomes.
Tokyo.
Brady's dope. Yeah.
Tokyo or Dubai?
Dubai is hot. And although it's dope, I got to roll with Tokyo. Yeah, Tokyo for sure. Dubai is too hot. I'm good.
Tokyo was actually pretty hot when I went. I was surprised about how humid it was out there, but it was still dope. It wasn't nothing.
It does get humid.
Yeah. It wasn't nothing like with Dubai.
Oh, dude. Dubai is like here's the thing. Let me say this. I've never been. But I know that dry heat ain't no joke. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I be seeing how to get out there. I can deal with some humidity. I've been to Asia a few times in the summertime. But like, you know, I'm rolling with Tokyo.
Straight out of Compton or Friday?
Friday. No question. Friday's iconic.
Yep. Menace to Society or Do the Right Thing?
Ooh, Do the Right Thing, more positive. Although Menace to Society on the soundtrack of Menace to Society probably has the dopest West Coast song on a West Coast like movie, on any movie of all time.
LA high school hoops or LA college hoops?
LA high school, man. LA got the best high school scene or had the best high school scene in the country, no question.
Right, but we did.
I'm gonna tell you this. Who?
I mean, UCLA was a powerhouse for a minute in the late '90s and even in the early 2000s.
Man, let me tell you this. It's no reason. You've been to UCLA's campus. Everybody's been to UCLA campus. It's no reason why UCLA should not have the number one recruiting class every single year. Like that looks like a movie when you walk on campus, and it's in LA, and they sponsored by Jordan. It's like, yo, but you go to a game, you watch a game, whatever it is, it's like, yo, the crowds ain't there, you know what I'm saying? People ain't showing up, and they like turn, like, you know, you go to Cameron crazy, like it's like they Cameron crazy, you know what I'm saying? But it's just like, man, but LA hoop scene, you go to a Westchester Fairfax game, turn, you know what I'm saying? You go to a Sarah Bishop game, turn. Sarah, who's Bourbon Days? Who does Bourbon Day have a rival?
Y'all was our rival. What you mean?
Nah, y'all wasn't rival. Y'all wasn't good enough. But anyway,
he'll knock it off.
Hey, he set you up for that. He set you up for that.
I know he did, but it's not like we didn't beat y'all. We beat y'all when I was there. Y'all had Mike Mayo, somebody else. You was long gone. But that's when we had
Mayo.
That's crazy. I ain't heard Mayo name in so long, though.
Yeah.
I ain't heard Mayo name in a minute either. Yeah. No, I mean, no. Verb respect. David Greenwood, you know what I'm saying? Verb had their run, you know what I'm saying? Richard Chaney went to Verb, I remember, and then he left to go somewhere else. But, you know, but either way, high school hoops in LA is like, yo, it's it.
Downey Calvary Chapel. Yeah, with
Tim Dresden, I heard that name in a minute.
Yeah.
Hey, they were actually decent in, what was it, Division 4 or something?
They were
for a minute when he was there.
They were D4, D5, I think. But yeah, nah, him and Dresden did their thing. Yeah. I remember them.
Yeah, man. High school hoops.
streaming or going to the movies?
Streaming, bro. Nah, streaming. Yeah. I mean, it's a movie's an event. You know what
I'm
saying?
I miss popcorn,
no,
though.
You asked me one of the other.
Popcorn don't hit the same at the crib, bro. You ain't going to get no popcorn at crib.
That's true.
Listen, here's my strategy. If I'm watching at the home, at my crib, I'm getting fries. If I'm at a movie theater, I want popcorn.
I like that, Trey.
Where are you getting the fries from? I mean, you like buying fries?
McDonald's fries. By the way, that's a shameless plug. That's something I was writing.
Yeah, it was.
For sure. I ain't mad at it. I can't wait till the movies get back, though. I can't wait till the movies come back. When they come back, you know what I'm saying? We up in there.
Magazines or online journalism?
Man, yo, Slam Magazine, bro. Magazine all day. Slam Magazine. Shout out to Slam.
Yeah.
I'm saying get the subscription. Go to slamgoods.com and buy some magazines.
Shout out to Slam.
Buy that J. Cole joint that sold out.
Shit's fire, by the way.
Yeah. That was a dope look for everybody. Blueprint or Reasonable Doubt?
Reasonable Doubt, man. You got to start with the beginning.
Yeah.
Reasonable Doubt.
Chronic 2001 or All Eyes on Me?
Oh, that's a tough one.
Come on, man. You know you better go with 2001.
All Eyes on Me. All Eyes on Me.
What?
You know that hit so hard.
Listen, I know I'm not mad at it. I love Tupac, but you know, Samir, I don't know who you bought your Burn CDs from at that time. I bought mine from Shamal, but we definitely was playing
Shamal. Shout out to Shamal.
Shout out to DZ. We was playing Chronic 2001 all through Senior Lane. Everybody CD player.
No, that's real.
I think about that because that was more of our era and more of the music that we can consume. Yes, All Eyes on Me ages well. It hits the same. But 2001, that was era, bro. Like, down the line, house parties, like, L.A., everything. It hit, like, oh, my God. That right there, Corrupt Streets is some other. Rough Riders Volume 2. It was a lot of shit we was listening to during those times.
Bro, I remember
that. I was going to tell a story real quick
because I just thought about it. Bro, the first time I heard Chronic 2001, so I went to school with John Sally's daughter. She was like low-key my first little girlfriend. And the first time I heard Chronic 2001, he had an advanced copy that he got from Shaq, which I guess Shaq had got it from Dre. And I heard it like maybe like 3 days or like 4 days before it came out. We was like all going to dinner. I was like in this big ass like Suburban. I'm listening to this shit. I'm like, whoa, this is the hardest shit I've ever heard in my life. Like, I still remember.
Yo, in the meantime, you ride it with his daughter and he's playing I Just Want to Fuck You. Like, come on, bro.
Yeah, exactly. Sick song, man. Shout out to Devin the Dude.
Nah, as a 12-year-old, mine was blown.
Here's the thing though, when Pac came out, we can't forget how I put All Eyes on Me in the top five. East Coast dudes eat me up for this. I put All Eyes on Me, Doggy Style, top five hip hop albums of all time. You know what I'm saying? Doggy Style, my favorite album. It's not number one, it's my favorite. But All Eyes on Me, when it came out with such a fervor that like he came hard, two CDs. East Coast, West Coast. He got out like the day before and dropped a double CD. You know what I'm saying? And it was like Death Row. You know what I mean? It was like it solidified. Like Death Row already had the stamp on the game, but like that one was like the, like, yo, we here. You know what I'm saying? It's like if the Chronic and Doggy Style and Dog Food was like the foundation, this was like the skyscraper. You know what I'm saying? That shit was, ain't nothing but a gangster party. You know what I mean? Like that stuff, man, come on, man. You can't. That was just double CD. That's fire, bro. I don't think it getting no bigger than that. Pac put the West Coast and like, yo, we here, we ain't going nowhere. You know, forget everyone else. You know what I'm saying? But 2001 was fire too, though. That was an amazing album.
Yeah. And one mixtape, Volume 1 or Volume 2?
Hey, bro, I'm gonna keep it a buck. They all running into each other. But I'm gonna tell you. Volume 1, and I can't tell you the difference, but I have to pick one, so that's which one I'm picking.
Yeah, I think that was the That was the emergence of Skip to Malu, and then Hot Sauce, I think, was volume two.
Volume three.
Oh, he was volume three.
Hot Sauce was volume three. Yeah.
You're right. You're right.
Hey, what you need to ask is the And1 mixtapes or the And1 in person tour. I mean, when they came to LA at Southwest.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That was fire. That was fire.
And the last one is the AI slam cover or the Kobe slam cover?
Which AI slam cover?
So the one with the Afro.
And which one? Which Kobe one?
The one with
you know, it's like 50 of them.
The one where you had the flag on them.
Solomon Rises. That's the one. If you ask anybody at Slam which one is like the, you know, the cover, which one is like the cover, it's that Solo Nigel. It's that one.
Yeah.
The AI piece.
Yeah. For sure. Well, that was the one of the two, brother.
Lucy Nicotine is a company founded by Caltech scientists and former smokers looking for a better and cleaner nicotine alternative. Finally, tobacco alternatives that don't suck. Researched and developed for 3 years to be made for people, not patients, Lucy has created a nicotine gum with 4 milligrams of nicotine that comes in 3 flavors, wintergreen, cinnamon, and pomegranate. Lucy also has a lozenge with 4 milligrams of nicotine in cherry ice flavor. Each and every flavor actually tastes great, and it's convenient and discreet. Products can be enjoyed anywhere, on flights, at work, on the go, even at the gym. People, it's 2021. Get rid of your cigarettes, unplug your vape, throw out your dip, and get some Lucy nicotine gum or lozenges. This is the real deal. A subscription to Lucy comes directly to your door each month. It's so simple, and you don't have to leave your house because Lucy has delivery down. Right now, bomb listeners. That's right. This podcast that you're listening to, Black Opinions Matter. You guys all go to lucy.co and use promo code BOM to get 20% off all products on your first order, including gum or lozenges. That's Lucy, LUCY.co and use promo code BOM at checkout. Also, I have to give this disclaimer. Warning, this product contains nicotine derived from tobacco. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Lucy.co, and be sure to use that promo code BOM.
But now we're going to talk about Young Samir. Tell me, what's your connection with collecting basketball cards?
Oh, dude, come on, man. I'm going to tell you who put me on to, I'm not going to tell you who put me on, but what player. So you asked me Shaq or Tim Duncan, and I didn't even listen to I can't believe I remember the second player. I'm like, don't you say Shaq, it's nobody else. So I was like this like awkwardly chubby, 10-year-old who was like big and goofy, 10, 11-year-old. And then, you know, I wasn't really watching basketball. I wasn't paying attention to Michael Jordan, nothing like that. I was outside, you know, riding bikes and eating ho-hos and honey buns or whatever. And then, you know, I saw this big old dude who was dunking on people and who was like fun. You know what I'm saying? This is a big old oversized dude. And back then, if you was big, you was one of two things. You was either big and goofy or you was big and mean. Nobody was big and fun. You know what I'm saying? And so Shaq got me into like basketball in general, which then made me get into like, yo, I'm like paying attention to Shaq. And then I remember seeing this card. I think it may have been a flare, but they had this piece. I don't know if y'all remember this, but it was like him dunking. It was like a black background, him like cocking back dunking. And like, it showed like all the different stages of his dunk. And I was like, that got me hooked right there. And then from then on out, I just got on to collecting all the basketball cards. And that actually got me into basketball. And so I collected cards heavy for maybe like 3 or 4 years. They still somewhere. Unless my parents just threw them away. I need to actually find all of them. But yeah, basketball cards was my thing, to the point where I remember looking in like some type of like classified, if I remember what it is, I'll be able to tell y'all. But I remember meeting a dude in a Jack in the Box parking lot buying a signed Nick Van Exel Cincinnati card that was probably fake. But that's how much I was into it. Like I was doing like low key meetups, like, yo, mom, take me to the Jack in the Box so I get this card. But yeah, no, that was
how
that
much was that thing. It's crazy to card back. Supposed to be worth?
Man, who knows? I probably paid $20 for it. You know what I'm saying? So It couldn't have been that expensive because my mom wanted to run in front of the building and take me to Jack in the Box. It wasn't more than $20, $25. You know what I mean? Hey, I'm pretty sure it was fake, but I got it.
Some things are meant to have at that time. You just like, I got to have it. So I get it. On the same line, what was your connection with collecting comic books?
Oh, yeah. No, that was my love before, like, basketball, man. I'm like, yo, Wolverine, you know what I'm saying? The X-Men, my uncle. You know what it was? No, I remember actually exactly what it was. When I was in elementary, I was in like this kind of like magnet school or whatever, magnet like program mm-hmm. at Dublin Elementary, which is now a different school. But I remember these dudes just always draw, and I was a terrible drawer. I can't draw a circle. But I was like, oh man, they got us into like creating characters and stuff like that, which then turned me on to like, you know, comic books and things of that nature. So, you know, I was with it all, man. Like, you know, obviously Marvel, X-Men, which I can't wait till Marvel kind of reboots that. I don't know when, but you know, they got it and they got it ready to bring it out. The dopest comic book that I think never really went nowhere was Static Shock. It was the first black character that I can remember, not Spawn and not, you know, not Black Panther. They weren't really big characters, but Static Shock was the first like young, cool black dude. I remember I bought the first issue of that, and I was like, oh, we finally got this black character. So whoever made that, you know what I'm saying, kudos to y'all. We need to be able to remake that and bring that back. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man, I ended up with like a random collection of comics, bro. Like my grandma came home with like the milk carton crates of just random joints, bro. And I would just be looking, and I seen like Iron Fist and, you know, like all type of editions, but I didn't know nothing about it being worth anything. You feel me? So I'm like looking. Yeah. And overall, like I used to just be reading them joints. That's what got me into reading. But I didn't know nothing about like, oh, first issue, whatever. You know what I'm saying? My grandma actually was she cleaned houses, and she used to clean houses for Aaron Spelling out in Beverly Hills. So oh, wow. Every time
like at that crib?
Yeah, yeah. So she would, you know, I mean, back in the day, it was a latchkey kid. So like I'm at home all day. Once I come home from school, I'm walking home at 7. So I got the whole crib, but like she would come home with, you know, wealthy people and rich people are two different type of things. You know what I mean? Like they getting rid of brand new shit in a heavy rotation. You feel me? So they'd be like, oh, Lois, you can have this. Bruh, she gave me an authentic Magic Johnson jersey. I couldn't fit it. I used to be outside planning that shit. I wish I still could have like had it to this day. But it was a mesh authentic jersey. I had this shit in like 93, 94, like right after he retired. So I'm just playing in it, though. You know what I'm saying? But like she would come home with so much shit every time that I just didn't really appreciate it like that because I just was a kid. And I'm like, you know, it wasn't. And she didn't know either what she was bringing home. And I'd be kicking myself like, damn, I had this. You know what I'm saying? And at that time, Tori was like, she probably was like 16, 17, bro, getting ready to, you know, make that jump to get into 90210 and stuff. But they, you know, they were super, super nice to my grandma, bro. Like they end up helping out on the funeral and everything. But like, yeah, they got me into comics, bro, because of them hand-me-downs, because of what they had at the crib, bro. Like just gave my grandma a whole crate of them. And I'm just reading through them like, oh, this shit is hard. But yeah, dog, it's so funny when I think about that.
Hey, what was your favorite? What was your favorite comic growing up?
Iron Fist. That's the thing. Like when I see who it is, I watched Winter Soldier, Falcon and Winter Soldier. I didn't like that. I thought it was kind of corny. But then I heard the name. You know, when he brought in Isaiah, I'm like, this name sounds familiar. And then I like Google, and I'm like, oh, that's Iron Fist. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like. And you put two and two. So that I'm glad they're doing the storytelling, but then also like that was good representation for me to see a black superhero. You know what I mean? He had the afro with the tie, the bandana on his head, and he was buff, and he had these like 70s clothing, and you know, like that shit had me hyped. You know what I mean? Like, oh yeah, I you know, before Black Panther, even though Black Panther was out, I just wasn't aware of him. You know what I mean? Because my Rolodex of Marvel and DC just wasn't up to par, and I kind of got into other shit. So it was a light switch.
Yo, you want to know the most impressive thing that Marvel did with this run was that they took, which were basically, I mean, they were primary characters in like the 60s, 70s, but they were secondary characters to our generation. And like, they made them like a franchise. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like literally multi-billion-dollar business. Like nobody was, you know, checking for Iron Man. You know what I'm saying? The Hulk, like that was kind of like old news. You know what I'm saying? Let alone Hawkeye and oh my gosh, what's her name? She's coming.
Black Widow.
She's dope.
Black Widow.
Nobody was checking for them. You know what I'm saying? Not from Marvel. I mean, obviously, you know, Marvel, they hold tempo with X-Men. You know what I'm saying?
Right. And even how they brought in the Hulk, they had to try to revamp the Hulk three different times before they landed on this one.
Mm-hmm. Man, you know what I'm saying? That's facts.
And mm-hmm. It was like crazy. So they really got lucky with Jon Favreau directing Iron Man and picking that out. And you know what I'm saying? Obviously, having Robert Downey Jr., who's kind of like the anchor to the whole shit, and having a great actor, you know what I'm saying, get behind the shit. And I mean, that's low-key what happened to Batman too. You know, they had a good director in Christopher Nolan, and Christian Bale is obviously a good-ass actor. And so it's like when they get solid people in those roles, then they can start to build some shit around it. But it's like whenever they go away from that, as is with DC, it's like the shit kind of just like falls apart a little bit, you know, because it's like nobody really cares if you don't have the strong direction and like a really good actor to play those roles.
Yeah, yo, sure.
Those Batmans were fire,
bro. The most
fire. Those Christopher Nolan ones, fire.
Those are still like the best, like the second and the third one, even Batman Begins. Like those are still the best superhero movies ever to me. And I used to love the original.
Oh, they were great films.
And I still fuck with the Avengers and all that shit. I think it's cool, but nothing is holding a candle to the Dark Knight. That shit is on another level.
Yo, the Dark Knight was like, I could sit back and watch the Dark Knight as like you, if you take away all the action, you still have a great film. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, don't get me started with Batman.
Heath Ledger's performance.
I'm slander to the table.
I will slander Batman. Fuck that nigga, bro.
What?
Yeah, bro. Nah,
yo,
bro.
The Dark Knight, bro.
He just a rich man that needed therapy, man. Fuck out of here.
His Twitter takes on Batman. Come on, bro. You gotta appreciate
that. Me and Kevin was going at it for like so long, bro, about Batman. Cause I was like, Batman and Godzilla are both boof. Like, I'm cool on both of them. I don't want to hear nothing about Batman, bro. He was out here just bored. He had cheese. He ain't had time for no chicks. Jeez. He just was out here beating up homeless people. People that ain't had no insurance, bro. He out here breaking their arms. He ain't kill them, but he's just making the hospital bill high.
Hey, man.
He no violence, bro. Nobody. I ain't never seen nobody knock out so many people without no blood. Like that shit is crazy.
Yeah, I thought that was weird.
But
too.
Batman is dope, though.
Bane washed him in the movie, bro.
So you don't like none of them.
No. I watch him, but I just think that I think he overrated as a character. I respect the movies, but I just think the storyline and what he does, like he ain't got no real superpowers, bro. He just got bread. He up.
He don't.
Superpowers, he's rich.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, superpower.
Bro.
He's the world's best detective.
Listen, he probably own an island and don't have to pay no taxes either. And y'all ride for that.
That's a fact.
White man. Listen, he could get shot in the. That's the thing. Why ain't nobody never shot him in the face? That's it. Just shoot him
nobody
in the face.
His
face is what his mask.
I'm talking about this part, bro. Shoot him at the bottom. Shoot that nigga in the jaw, bro. The Dark Shadows ain't got him that lit. I would do a pod of just slandering Batman one time, for sure. Tell me about your relationship with Pogs.
Yo, man, Pogs were dope, bro.
Yo,
Pogs were dope. You got the Pogs and the Slammers.
Did Knott's Berry Farm get you onto Pogs at Mystery Lodge?
No, bro. I'm gonna tell you guys, me on the Pogs. All these kids in my neighborhood and the ice cream man that was hustling them to the kids coming through with the Slammers, bro. That's what put me on them. The ice cream man, like, yo, let me get down. And he can come and like take everybody Pogs, bro. That's what it's about. You know what I'm saying? But hold up, tell me about the Mystery Lodge. I wasn't hitting Knott's Berry Farm, but not Scary Farm. So So please put me on
so,
game.
So Mystery Lodge.
I was up there.
So Mystery Lodge had like this promo, right? First of all, you can get in if you like recycle. You get in free, right? With like some bottle caps or something crazy. And then Mystery Lodge had this whole thing where you go. It was an attraction where you go sit in a little cave and they tell us stories. And when you leave, they hand you a sheet of pogs, 25 pogs, and a slammer. So it was basically a pog starter kit. And that's what got me with my collection. And then I was like, all right, cool. I got 25. And, you know, obviously we've actually covered pogs as a topic before. And we were talking about, do you remember like Black Magic, Tippies? Like, niggas was coming up with all type of shit, bro.
Or do you remember niggas used to argue about if you were playing for keeps or not?
Yes.
Some niggas used to be like scared and didn't want to play for keeps because if a nigga had a secret little slammer, you know what I'm saying, and he whipped that motherfucker out.
I still can't believe I paid $75 for a quote unquote not real but fake 14 karat gold OJ Simpson slammer, and it was a ripper. That's facts, bro. It had the Bronco on it, AC Collins. And the juice on there, bro.
No, it didn't, bro.
Oh, God. Remember, hey, Jason, remember I showed you it? Somebody had it. I told the story, and somebody was like, yo, I bought the same one and showed me it. And I lost it because I was like, yo, I can't be the only stupid one that bought this shit. You feel me? And my grandma, you know what I mean? Like, she used to get money for me, like, every month because she, you know, she took care of me. And she was like, yo, you sure you want it? I got $300 a month. And she was like, you sure you want to spend $75 on this? I was like, yes. Like, you know what I mean? But like, think about it. I'm like 11, bro. Like, that's 75 going to like something cool. Because 75 back then was hitting, bro. That's when we was getting 25-cent chips. We was getting sodas for 25 out the vendor. You know what I'm saying? You could do a lot with a dollar back then. So for me to spend that much on a slammer, bro, I'm still hot that I even just kind of got into that mix, man. Speaking of cheap food, I wanted you to tell everybody about how crazy Fruitopia was and Dominguez snack bar. The licorice. Fruitopia. I don't know if you ever got down with the sour licorice.
Hold on. You talking about the snack bar ran by George?
By George. Right? Yeah, by George.
Ah, you big dummy.
You big dummy.
Yo, we used to have this snack bar. Damn, man, you took it back. He's at a snack bar, and it was ran by this old dude. His name was George, and George used to call everybody a dummy. It don't matter who you was. You could have been the best player. You could have been like the rattiest dude on the street. Yeah, you big dummy. Get up out of here, you big dummy. And he'll give you. But he was like a good dude. You know what I'm saying? But you know that George is cool. George is cool, man. I remember that snack bar. Damn, I almost forgot about that snack bar.
Yeah, that shit crazy, bro.
Nobody ever rated that snack bar, huh?
No. And then the crazy thing about it was, for $2, you can get a Country Time lemonade, a pack of sour licorice.
Yeah.
Or you go right by the girls' locker room, and you can get Fruitopia. And then when Coach Keith and Coach D was selling the mini pizzas, you can do that. And then by T Freehouse, by Trayvon House, was the burrito spot.
Oh, hey, let me say this. When I was living in New York, every time, damn, man, I remember Fruitopias, bro. I do remember Fruitopias. Every time I would come to LA, the first stop I would make would be the burrito spot, bro. And just to let y'all know, we had two burrito spots. So we had like the burrito spot that was like the classic Mexican burrito spot, burrito and foil, white cheese, you know what I'm saying? You can get your carne asada, your chicken, your rice, your beans, your onions, hot sauce, fire. And then they had like the Chinese food burrito spot where they would put like white
teriyaki.
Rice, teriyaki chicken, you know what I'm saying? I think they had the cheddar cheese and they had this, it's a sour cream, but it was like cream cheese, you know, it was thick. Hey, slam that thing on. And it was like, yo, which one? I was like give me my Mexican food burrito from the spot. You know what I'm saying? But some dude's like, no. Give me the Chinese food burrito. And that burrito, I'm not going to lie to you, was slamming. I've never, ever ran into nothing else like that in my life, but that was a slamming burrito. But give me the Mexican food spot any day.
But also, we got Jack in the Box a little bit later across the street.
Oh, Jack in the Box was clutch. Came in. Yeah. Hey,
Jack in the Box was clutch.
Jack in the Box was clutch.
Because you could just go across the street, get you a little sandwich, and then come back. But still to this day, bro, that spot. Oh, also the golf course, the bacon cheeseburgers at the golf course.
I ain't never been to the golf course.
You never cut through the field? See, I used to cut through.
Never went to the golf course.
JJ, you missed out on this little thirsty little food run we had at Dominguez. So it was a Compton one, right? It's the bridge.
Yeah. And then, I used to go there because I was the captain of our golf team in quotations at Verb, because one of the teachers played golf and he wanted to have a golf team. I was the only kid who knew how to play golf, so we got like five little random kids to come like play with us like once a week, like on Thursdays and shit. And we used to go to the Compton golf course right down the street from the school.
Yeah, that bro, that's funny. They had the firest bacon cheeseburgers ever. Miss McDaniel used to sell chili dogs too. She used to have chili dogs, bro. She put in the microwave and sell them just for like $1. You get a chili dog and a Capri Sun. I was in there eating, bro, like crazy. Oh yeah, nah. Listen, I go hooping. I go hoop in the backcourt, eat. You know what I'm saying? You remember the dunk courts? I still think about that dunk. No. I still think about that dunk KB dunked on. Keon dunked on JB, and wrapped his legs around him.
Yes, hey, Keon will be back down the dunk court though. I can see Keon's probably the only one back there dunking on dudes. Maybe Bobby. Bobby probably.
Bobby was out there too. You know, Bobby was definitely back there. It was rare. It was rare that y'all came back. Y'all would come back and watch, but I remember.
No, for sure.
I would have to. I'd be back there, just bro. I'm talking about Jason. No deodorant, nothing, bro. Just listen, bro. You just started the day with deodorant, and you come into the class. Your white tee sweaty. You out there really hooping, saving up, but it's a dunk court, bro. It's like 8.5, and a lot of people don't know. You know, Tyson them used to call me Baby KG because I would rock a ball fade, and I used to have a rubber band, and I could dunk back then. Like, I'm 9th grade dunking, but I was short. I wasn't but I just kind of was dark skinned, but that was a lazy nickname for me, Baby KG. You know what I'm saying? And it used to be hilarious because I'd just be like, yo, you know what I mean? And then, you know, Samir and them was a year older than me, so they on VAR, bro, and their team was just really. Just stacked up and down, fam. Like, you know what I mean? And we'd be at the games, and bro, it was just a family though. We ain't lose. I don't think Dominguez lost on any level until 2002. You know what I'm saying? And I think that was the last year Keon was by himself, obviously. But you know, we had probably the longest streak of league game wins, straight up,
Oh, yeah. Oh, you talking about league games?
League games is crazy.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. I mean, I see we do shout outs on this. So I would like to shout out Gar. I would like to shout out Paramount. I would like to shout out Linwood. I would like to shout out, who else was in that league? I can't even remember.
Downey.
Who else? Who am I missing?
Downey.
I would like to shout out Downey. I know I may be missing one. Who else?
You said Linwood. Oh, Warren.
Oh, Warren. Yeah. There we go. We're going to leave it at Warren. I said guard too. Yeah. I would like to shout out y'all for taking them 50 point losses every single year and letting us practice hard sets.
The only team I honestly could say that really had heart or really could do a little something was Linwood. When they got that new gym, that shit was great. It was so fun to go over there.
Linwood was the only team.
Yeah.
Yo, they called, I remember my junior year. They called that game early because everybody wanted to fight. That place was jumping. LA High School Hoops. That place was jumping. I remember thinking I was tough. I got a dunk in that game. I started throwing up gang signs like an idiot. I remember Coach Chase was like, "Man, stop doing that, man! Stop doing that." Hey, dude was hot, bro. People was like before the game, the coaches got in a fight. Like that's the type of thing it was. I remember they called the game early. I think we was up by enough to call the game early. You know what I'm saying? They were like, "Yo, let's get up out of here."
What about Centennial?
Ooh, you talking about the fight? Was you there at the fight?
Yeah.
Ooh.
But that right there caused us to never play any Compton schools. Our last question
that we
ask our guests is, what advice would you give your 18-year-old self?
What advice would I give my 18-year-old self? I mean, I think two things, right? I think one is to always kind of think about this is just to kind of be a little bit more audacious. You know what I'm saying? Growing up, especially as like young Black people who are trying to work and fit into a system and are told just to kind of like get jobs and grow and things of that nature, we're not told to, you know, really push for beyond hard work and a paycheck. And I would just tell myself to be a little bit more audacious, to ask for a little bit more, take risk a little earlier. You know what I'm saying? Don't be afraid to negotiate and to be able to, you know, make yourself some money. Like I'm blessed to be able to have, you know, mentors that kind of, that helped and usher me through like different places. But it was always like, it wasn't until I got into my, really, man, to be honest, it's like my mid-30s that I was like, all right, let's negotiate and understand your worth. You know, and I always think about, you know, people say, you know, all the audacity, you know what I'm saying? But I think you have to be audacious in order to attain great things, you know what I'm saying? Otherwise, you'll just be, you know, you'll just be kind of status quo. You'll just be like everybody else, and nobody wants to grow up and be like everybody else. At least I don't. That's one thing. Second thing would be, to eat healthier, eat better, you know what I'm saying? Health as well. You know, so like I would just make sure that, you know, after I start hooping, just to make sure we continue to keep up, man. Mind, body, spirit, that's going to help you attain like, you know, your greatness and reach your full potential. So, you know, if I was to ask myself or to tell myself any of those two things, would be able to be more audacious and, you know, just to make sure to continue to keep everything in line with what your goals and visions are, you know, physically, mentally, spiritually, cognitively. So, yeah, those would be the two things.
Man, this has been a great episode, man. Thanks for joining us.
For sure.